Okay, we'll go back into session. And I direct you to the Executive Committee section agenda, of the agenda, number four. Since we have item EX1, the naming was considered at the meeting, so we'll vote on both of our motions separately, since EX2 was not considered at the committee meetings. So direct you to page one of the materials. The motion is to approve the naming of the WKU Child Care Center as the Colleen B. Mendel Child Care Center. And you may recall we had discussion on this at the committee meeting in December, on December 12th. Is there any discussion before we entertain a motion? Entertain a motion to approve the recommendation.
I make the motion.
Second.
Okay. Any questions or discussion?
Has the family been notified? Do they know about this? Okay.
Any other questions or comments?
Well, I mean, pending board approval, of course. Okay. Yes.
If not, I'll ask you to. For approval, everyone say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The request passes unanimously.
Thank you. We will take steps, Robin, to make that more known in the community and plan some type of ceremony for the family, given Colleen's death this past year. Let me just go on to the second item.
Sure.
The second item was not on our agenda at the executive committee meeting, primarily because my trip to China was in early December, just a few days before commencement, as you all well know. And we were successful in receiving the money, $1.5 million from Hanban, which is the Chinese Education Ministry. I'll give you a little bit of a circuitous route to what got us here. For the last few years, we've been building our Confucius Institute, which, as you know, opened in 2010. And you have a document that describes this building and what will be done in it, along with other pertinent variables related to our Confucius Institute at your place, along with the 2013 Confucius Institute annual report. And the 2014 report will be out in another week or so, and we'll get that to you. 2 years ago, when I went to the Confucius Institute conference, which is the early December conference of all 400 Confucius Institutes across the globe, and there are about 400, there are 100 in the United States, two in Kentucky. We were the first, and then University of Kentucky received a Confucius Institute shortly after we were approved for one in 2010. But at the annual Confucius Institute conference in 2012, they let it be known that they were going to create and devote funding to what they call a Model CI, Model Confucius Institute, which would include a building of some yet-to-be-determined sort. And so we've been competing since that time with all the other Confucius Institutes across the globe. Fast forward 1 year, over the course of the past year, they made it be known that they were going to approve 10 of these. And two were going to be in the United States. And so we were in a pretty heated competition with the other 99 Confucius Institutes across America to get one of these buildings. Well, our pursuit started out with requesting $6 million. And then went down to $4 million, then went down to $2 million, and we ended up getting $1.5 million approved. And to our knowledge, that may be the highest appropriation that they are approving. San Diego State was the other university in America that is receiving one of these first 10 buildings. My hunch is there'll be more next year and more the following year. The Chinese Education Ministry devotes about $3 billion a year to funding their Confucius Institutes across the globe. So it's a major outreach initiative for Chinese culture and cross-cultural relations with all the nations across the globe on each continent. So we fought hard for this, and we're very pleased. And my last three trips to China have included meetings with Madam Xu Lin, who's the Director General of Hanban and who calls the shots. And we hosted the North American Confucius Institute Conference for the first time, as you recall, back in September of 2013. All that was kind of a precursor to build the relationships and the confidence. Long story short, we were able to close that gift this past December, and that check was received by December 31st and is in the bank in the WKU Foundation. Now, specifically, you saw Brian Russell indicate the site, and the site is included on your material here as well, and along with a projected floor plan. Over the course of the last year, we had our architectural design students, and I'll pass this around just because you may be curious to see. We had our students engaged in a design competition for this building, and now all of those designs were based on a much more expensive building than the money we ended up getting. But there's some really creative stuff in there that our students had a lot of fun proposing. As it turns out, we're projecting a building that will be very modest, brick, stone, much like the Adams Whitaker Student Publications building just down the street on Normal. 7,100 feet is the projected square footage. It's a pretty small building, not much larger than a house. And the floor plan, the projected floor plan, is in here. So it required a matching funds from the university, and the way we arrived at the matching was the cost of the property. Well, the property was ours. There was no cost to us, but the land had value, so we projected a value on the land. Architectural services, Neil Downing and our students. Tara Ogden will be the project manager in our planning, design, and construction unit, her time, and so forth. And then there is a fund that I will meet with the WKU Foundation Board to redirect to this purpose. That is a reserve fund for the Institute for Combustion Science and Environmental Technology, which had a dramatic change in its focus, and we're in the process of leasing that space to the private sector, and that reserve fund is now a discretionary fund, and the foundation board will be asked to redirect that reserve fund to this purpose. Wei Ping Pan, ironically, is the director of our Confucius Institute and also was the director of ICET until he retired about a year and a half ago. So that's the way the matching is being achieved. Total project budget would then be $3 million. Total expenditures, $2.3 million. Actual construction, $1.5 million. So their funding will pay for the construction of the building. Hanban is ready to move forward. We're ready to invite Madam Xu Lin, who is high-ranking official in the Chinese government, back to campus in August of 2016 to participate in the opening of this building. The primary use will be to work with the teachers. If you look at this annual report and you look at the back section, you'll see photos of the 40 or so Chinese teachers that are teaching Chinese language in public schools, elementary and middle grades. This will be a bit of a home for these Chinese teachers, and it'll be a Chinese teacher training center, and Sam Evans is here, and Sam has been heavily involved in helping us get a couple of master's degree programs that are joint degrees with Chinese language, Minzu University and Beijing Language and Culture University. So we're now offering master's degree to students who become teachers in this program. So this will be a bit of an extension to the College of Education that Sam and his faculty have been involved in with considerable detail. So at any rate, I apologize for putting this on the agenda without coming through committee. But we closed the gift in December. They sent us the money. We promised them we'd get right on it. And that's why we haven't had a committee discussion about it before. But I believe most of you have followed my trips to China and have been aware that we were in pursuit of this building. But if you haven't had the detail that I'm describing now, I apologize for that. But at any rate, we are where we are, and I would like to go on and get board approval so we can go to CPE, get the necessary CPE approval for any building on any campus, even if it's private funds, and this is all private funds, that we can get the process to get underway this spring and have it open by the end of next summer, summer of 16. So that's, that's a quick overview. But our Confucius Institute has become a significant programming element on our campus. Now, we try to keep some distance with our Confucius Institute and direct engagement in our curriculum because we do not want to do anything that would involve our Chinese friends in anything that would relate to academic freedom or anything of that nature. So our Confucius Institute is a programming element, but we do teach Chinese language in about 40 different school districts or 40 different schools and 25 different school districts. And that's become a very important part of the youth of our regional communities in learning Chinese language. So, again, I'd be glad to answer any specific questions that you might have. It's a modest project, but one that I think is important symbolically and pragmatically in continuing to build our Chinese relations. We believe the Chinese marketplace for prospective students is opening up for us. This is an important dimension to continue to build that relationship and try to make WKU a destination point for Chinese students who would enroll here. So I'll defer to you, Mr. Chairman, and would be happy to respond to any specific questions, thoughts, conversations that you might have.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion regarding this approval.
Make a motion to
do. I hear a second.
I'll second.
Okay. Discussion?
I read recently, I think, where nationwide there's like 800,000 foreign students and 29% of them are Chinese.
I don't know that I saw that exact study, but my instincts are that would be fairly accurate.
How many Chinese students do we have here now?
About 150 Chinese students. That may not be exactly right, but Gordon, I don't know if you have any insight on that, but 150-ish. So they're
most of whom are paying full.
Oh yes, yes, yes. They're our third largest population. They were first a couple of years ago. The Saudi Arabian population is now first, and the Brazilian is now second. But those are two phenomena that have grown in just the last few years. But we think we can get to several hundred Chinese students in the next few years.
One might anticipate this would help in that effort.
Well, that's certainly why we pursued it so aggressively.
We've actually grown, 47 Chinese students in the last 4 years.
Right, grown by that amount.
To 175.
Okay, good.
Which,
thank you.
Can I ask a question about the budget? Gary, I was trying to write down numbers, and that kind of went too fast for me. We've got $1.5 million that's in the bank that they've given us, and we have to match that $1.5 million.
Well, and matching and how we...
No, no, I understand we don't have to write a check. But we must have put a value to the land. We must have put a value to the A&E, and then the balance is the foundation.
Correct.
Check.
Correct.
Do you have the numbers on the land and the A&E, son?
Wei Ping Pan would have that, and then he's not here today. But I cannot recall specifically, and that was more of a conversation than actually, we did not give them a document that this you're dealing with a foreign government, and it was mostly a conversation in the negotiation rather than precise. And they kind of, oh, okay, well, that works. It was so, but approximately the land would be about $400,000, a couple hundred thousand in architectural fees when you consider the time for our faculty and students. I don't know, maybe $100,000 for Kara Ogden's time as the project manager. So that's kind of how we arrived at $700,000 in kind services, if you will, and land.
Yeah, that's good work.
Well, those are about the numbers that we shared with her, but they did not ask for a precise
number
document.
Okay. And then the balance is coming from the foundation?
Okay. That fund has now grown over the years to about $800,000 and would be redirected to this purpose. And Catherine will have me on the foundation agenda at its next meeting to have that discussion with the foundation board.
And so that makes up our... And it, do we have to enter into any sort of contract or arrangement with
them? I signed an agreement, which I actually got from Dr. Pan yesterday, that I can get to you, but it basically is... a typical gift agreement, and that you'd expect when a government has entered into a relationship with another country.
Would there be any restrictions in that agreement on? First of all, let me make a statement. I feel I'm brand new on this board, and so I don't want to. Enter things into the discussion that are unfair to enter, because this is something that I understand Gary's been working on for some time, and most of you have some knowledge of. And I really appreciate the fact that he probably spent more time with me in the last week than he probably said a silent prayer that he hoped I never came back and asked him. So, in all fairness, I don't know anything else that I can ask him, okay? Now, I might improve his answers, but I don't know. But I want to say about Confucius, I think this is really quite a remarkable thing that our campus has. It is. As Philip commented, the number that are internationally present, the number in this country, and I do understand to get one of these grants is highly competitive. It's the kind of thing that's complicated. It's not the kind of thing you can lay out there and say to the world, you know, this is what I'm doing. I do understand that, and I think it's quite a compliment to Gary to have been able to get it. And I would not for one minute want to suggest that what we're doing in Confucius isn't good. It is great. I mean, Sam and others will tell you, how in the world could we have so many teachers out in our schools and so many kids and others having a chance to experience language where the districts couldn't pay for it, the culture. I can't say enough good things about it. Having said that, there are a couple of things that I wish we could figure out how to address on this. I'm really pleased that, Dr. Ransdale, that you got this in a way that you have gift money and are able to come up with private funds, so this is not taking away from any other priority, and we have so many, but it's not taking away from any other priority, and I think that is a real positive on it. The one question, I had a couple of questions, and to me, I think it's an important part of our international efforts, and I think it's really important that it be put in place in a way that's sustainable over time. And my biggest question was to understand use and need. I shared with the president, my first thought was we're building another building right next door that's international, and I was struggling to figure out need. He convinced me a little bit, but then I thought about use. This program is being designated as the Chinese Teacher Training Institute. That suggests, I mean, we are seeing it, and I think somewhere in the descriptors it talks about this literally being a core part of WKU, and it is. I know it's about culture and Chinese language, but as with any initiative like this on a campus and with our constituents, ultimately you've got to really figure out how you get your faculty, your departments, your academic community engaged. And I understand sometimes you do that too soon and you mess up what Confucius could do. I understand that, Gary, because there are a lot of things that the Institute does, or at least so far. But this is a Chinese Teacher Training Institute. And for one thing, that makes it something that I'm assuming institutes have to be academically approved, Provost Simpson, as an institute. I mean, I don't know. It's not Confucius Institute. It's the Confucius Teacher Training Institute. And when you talk about teacher training, in addition to the College of Ed, we've got a number of campuses on, number of departments on campus that are engaged in teacher training. You certainly have the language department that's heavily involved. And what I wish is, we have the money, it's in the bank, it's an honor to be selected for it. And I don't want to do anything that suggests not valuing this program. But I am wishing we could find a way that before we go off and design it and determine how it's going to be used, that we could reach out beyond just the Confucius Institute staff and engage the faculty, the programs that are going to be a part of this. I know it's about those 40 teachers, but the fact is those 40 teachers, unless they're in elementary, are all having to work towards certification. So they are either enrolled or getting certified. Most of them live in the communities that they're teaching in. So it isn't like they even come to campus very often. But I do understand symbolically it says something to them to have a place. And so, Gary, what I am not for 1 minute saying there can't be value. And I know you've got an August 2016 target date. I don't know when this has to go to the board or to the council.
Well, it would be their next meeting.
Which is?
Well, I don't know there'll be their next meeting. I think the next meeting is next week. It'd probably be the meeting after that, I would guess. The Council on Post-Secondary Education.
Oh, we'll see for that time. I'm sorry, but yeah, the next meeting is February the 13th.
It wouldn't make that one.
It would go to the April meeting.
I'm interested in sustainability of this, and I'm interested in how it becomes really a part of Western and how it engages the faculty and departments that you're going to need to make it come alive. You already have the money.
Sam, can you help us with this? They're your faculty that'll be most directly engaged, and you've obviously been closely involved with the joint master's degrees that we now have with Chinese institutions. So do you have some thoughts on that?
Just a couple of thoughts relative to what has been shared. We right now have six individuals from China in our MAP program becoming certified in Mandarin Chinese. They will be here next year as well, and we're in the process of recruiting another class. As of this day, there are 8 potential new students to come next year. In addition to that group, and I don't have the numbers because Han Bon does the initial screening, we've worked with individuals in China. We're looking to go over there the end of May to help those individuals become professionally certified in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. And it's just what we do to help them to make sure the Standards Board feels good about the quality of teachers in the classroom. Those individuals do come to WKU prior to school starting, and they do have things that they take them through to kind of acclimate them to the culture, Kentucky, Bowling Green, surrounding area, because they are literally across the state. So we do that work once they get here. We do work through webinars. We go to China and work with them. That's a different group of individuals. They work in the schools. I don't want to say it's free labor. There is a small cost there to Han Bon, but it is a huge asset to the school districts, and they love them. As Barbara indicated, those folks do live in the communities in which they are teaching. So, yes, we can pull folks together. What can we do to enhance the nature, the intent of the facility to make sure that the faculty is utilized as described? One beauty of what we're doing with the MAT individuals, they go to class with folks who are not becoming teachers of Mandarin Chinese. They have to take at least 9 hours a semester. They're on campus. We want them to get the big picture of the schools in which they're working, not just the Mandarin Chinese classroom. So there is a larger group that they are a part of. So in response to your question, the short answer is yes.
I understand what Barbara's seeking, and, right. and you and your faculty would be the most engaged, so help us arrive at that.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm sorry, John.
I have a question. Just hypothetically, Middle East is in a mess right now, and there's lots of stuff going on. What if politically, geopolitically, something took place with the Chinese government and the relationships with the United States? Are we contractually, by accepting a gift, again, we would go back to the gift part, forget about everything but the gift part, are we contractually entering into an agreement that that facility and that program has to be sustainable regardless of something that we would not have control over?
Now, if they withdrew, then the building's ours and it becomes something else. If we withdraw, then yeah, there's an expectation that we're in it for the long term, and there would be a prorated that $1.5 million. If we chose to withdraw and get out and terminate our Confucius relationship, yeah, there would be a prorated refund the money. But, you know, that's not unlike any corporate or political dynamic.
Trying to draw that whole correlation. Place. Thank you.
So the agreement allows for both parties to get out of it. If we choose to do so, you prorate how much length of time you've been in it, and then you'd arrive at a calculation to send them back some of the money. But we don't anticipate doing that. If they get out of it, they know full well. And these Confucius Institutes are only 10 years old. This was the 10th anniversary this past December. And so this is a growing phenomenon, but you're absolutely right. Things change. And in 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years, I hope our Chinese relations are strong and trade is strong, and that's what we're training our students to embrace and be part of. But, yeah, the world can change. You're right.
And the Chinese economy, is it the largest in the world now?
You have to hope. A lot of people and a lot of dollars. I mean, I've been going to China since 1999, I've watched 200 million people trade a bicycle for a car. And now you go to Beijing or Shanghai or Chongqing or Hangzhou or wherever, and the cities of 20, 25, 30 million people, and the hotels, the construction, the quality, no different than being in New York or San Francisco.
Yeah, I think we can all take Barbara's comments and concerns to heart, and I think they're well placed, and hopefully as this matures over the next few months, whatever things that can be done to make the faculty as a whole feel part of it.
There's one caution. I want to be careful to keep this a program and not part of our actual curriculum, because I don't think we want to be involved with the Chinese government in matters that relate to our curriculum per se. Institutions have gotten crossways with their faculty in that regard, and I don't ever want our Chinese relations to be an issue with anything that would relate to academic freedom or anything of that nature. And I tell our students and our faculty every chance I can, you don't have to condone a country's politics to understand its culture and embrace its people and understand the value of trade. And it's those three things that our Confucius Institute is mostly about: understanding culture, language, and trade, and let other people deal with the politics and the governmental policies.
Can I go back to one question? I want to digress a second. That I wrote down here in my notes. What happens? This is a small facility, 7,100 square feet. So you don't have that much problem with overruns. But what is our obligation in the event that there is a construction overrun, cost overrun? Or is it design build? It's going to have to be.
It's going to be design build, and our students are doing it, and Brian Russell and Kara Ogden would reduce the square footage if we sense at any point that it's going to be over the projected $1.5 million construction budget, because there's no source to go to for any additional funding.
Contractually, we can do that.
Yeah, yeah. 7,100 is ours.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not their number.
Okay.
they just asked us, what can you do for this amount of money? And we told them about 7,000 feet. And you see the first floor plan from Neil Downing, our professor in architectural and manufacturing sciences. So he's, it's just schematic at this point. We don't even have a schematic of the exterior. It'll complement the International Center next door in terms of material and so forth. It's going to be a fairly modest. Again, if you can project an image of the Adams Whitaker Student Publications Building on Normal, just right over there, that's what it's going to end up looking much like. That was a $1.5 million project, all with private funds as well.
I guess I didn't realize 7,100 was our number.
That's our number.
Is there anything... I think it's a given that the money has been accepted and our commitments with Confucius say that we're going to build this building. Is there any reason we could not approve the acceptance of the gift and the fact that we're going to build it, but buy time to identify how it's going to be used and even to talk about the naming of it? I really struggle with the Chinese Teacher Training Institute that is not connected to our academic units. They're not in the teacher training business, okay? And so it doesn't prevent you from starting planning, but at least it addresses the question.
Well, we can't go forward without board approval. I mean, we need board approval to do any of that. But don't get hung up on that name, Institute. I asked Wei Ping to put some talking points together when we got back from China. That's what he did. So we're not that far along in what lettering is going to go on the building or anything. I mean, again, the money was just deposited over the holidays, and I wouldn't, there'll be plenty of time to arrive at what it's called and exactly the programming in it. I mean, you know, we did, like a lot of gifts, you close, you pursue a dream and you close a gift, and then, but I can't do anything without board approval to move forward.
But you could approve it with some friendly agreements as to how we were going to determine the naming and the use.
Sure.
In relation to other availability space.
As long as
I'm assuming the library, for example, will get some of their space back.
I'm just talking
and none of
Connie.
This has been discussed.
The Chinese Learning Center will stay in the library because that's, you all know the Chinese Learning Center when you come into the Helm Library. That will stay because that's a large space and that's kind of a much of a museum as anything, and you kind of, our students get a kick out of walking through that to get into the library. But the offices for the Confucius Institute are there. They'll now free up for the library, and so there's some multi-purpose space that the library can reclaim in that regard as well. And Connie and I were just talking about that.
So help me understand, if we design it, I thought use dictated design.
Huh?
I thought use dictated design. How do we make sure that does happen?
Well, yeah.
I mean, if we
you see the general design here, the floor plan. Now, I don't see that changing much. I mean, you got two classrooms, two kind of flex spaces, and 1, 2, 3, 4 offices, a coffee center, and 5 offices, excuse me, 1 on the first floor, 4 on the second floor, and a modest little kitchen where I assume our Chinese teachers will cook stuff. I mean, it's a pretty modest project. I don't see the design changing much. What we call it, and is it possible other things than the Chinese teachers? Of course there'll be other things that'll take place in here, you know. I don't know what the Confucius Institute programming will entail that will involve this, but it could be lots of things. But the primary focus will be a home for these Chinese teachers. But yeah, we can get into whatever details you would like as it begins to take shape.
I just think it's so important to convey to the campus that there is a communicatable need and use for this, and I hope the Chinese teachers, it's a little hard to understand when most of them are out living in the communities. It is a symbolic building. I understand that, but I wish it could be more than that.
Those teachers are here a good bit. They're back and forth on a pretty regular basis because there's a lot of things they need to do as a group, but I can't give you their precise schedule.
Barbara, is your concern what the name of the facility is, and what was put up there that denotes its tie to the university?
I'm concerned with the fact that we're going to approve design of it based on use that has been determined, I guess, principally with the work Dr. Pan has done.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that if this is truly something of importance to the campus's international program, and I think it is, that I would love to see it somehow be understood as to why we need it. I think there's a perception on campus sometime that we've been blessed with being able to build a lot of buildings. And even though this is going to be private money, it'll be seen as another building. I just think it's very important you understand why we need it and how it's going to be used. And I think that's very... I think that's kind of evasive. If we just needed space for teachers and space for the program, in declining enrollment, we have a lot of space. I would agree with Gary. Symbolically, having specific space dedicated can be hugely valuable. But I'm just struggling with what it is that uniquely is needed.
Well,
that makes it
valuable. A lot of gifts we pursue, donor interest doesn't always match up with our priorities. But is this the highest campus priority? Of course not. If I had $1.5 million unrestricted, would I use it for this? Of course not. But that's not how fundraising works. 99% of the gifts we receive are restricted by the donor to do a specific thing. That's just the way philanthropy works. You pursue a gift, you close a gift, you do it, and Guthrie Bell Tower was completely a private gift, hardly a university priority, but it's certainly been a nice campus landmark for us that we would have never done ourselves with our own money. I put this in that category. We'd never do this with our own money, but the Chinese government's willing to invest in us, and we're the better for it.
And I understand that, but I sort of thought our application was so that we could be part of creating what was a model Confucius Institute. And so to do that, somehow you have to define what that is. But anyway.
That's Kanban's language.
That seems like a communication issue.
Yeah, it is.
I'm
not asking you to approve the design.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll let our architectural students run with that, but I can't move forward on anything without board approval to proceed.
Well, often these types of... a lot of programs are... set up, but they're kind of a dynamic, so ever-evolving addition, just like every building's use, every program migrates from what it is today, sometimes grows. So, I mean, in a lot of ways, it's like dedicating an academic building for a particular program that may develop and may continue, may migrate another way.
I will communicate to the campus next week after this action with specificity as to what the project is, which I plan to do anyway. But again, I can't get out in front on that without this action.
We got a motion and a second on the floor.
Any other questions or discussion?
I guess question from the student perspective, because I do know, you spoke a lot about wanting to keep the academics of what we're doing in Chinese studies here separate, and I do understand that to an extent, but just the physical space of the building itself, whenever it's not, as Dr. Birch made a point, a lot of times teachers are in and out. Especially some of this flex space may go unoccupied. Is it not in the intent of the building for our Chinese major, Chinese minor, Chinese flagship to use that? Because, to me, I'm kind of getting the sense that we might be building this building that would have the perfect opportunity for these students to interact from people with China. And so is that not going to be a priority of the building to hold those classes?
We have a Chinese New Year celebration for our Chinese faculty, staff, and students coming up in February. This would be the place where we'll do it in 2017.
Mm-hmm. But what about just general classes it is free?
The flex space, the classrooms will be wide open for campus use.
Because I think that, you know, would be an obvious sort of use of tying it
in. And I would want students coming in. I would want our domestic students, not just our Chinese students, coming in out of a facility called a Confucius Institute as well, as they do with the Chinese Learning Center now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I absolutely agree.
Any other discussion? I'll call the question. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All opposed, aye. Or no?
No. I'm not opposed to the concept of doing it. I'm opposed to not having some contingency on further clarification on use. So I have to vote no.
Understand.
And I abstain.
Okay. One abstention, one no, the rest are ayes. Okay.
Jordy.
Motion carries. So I think this has been good discussion, and I guess there'll be reports on everything that's developing in the next several weeks and a couple of years.
Yeah, we will. Thank you.
This time we will.
Chairman, I guess my point of order is if we're at that latter part, I'd like to make a motion. I'd like to move that the board go into a closed session as provided in KRS section 61-810-1 for the following discussion on proposed or pending litigation against or on behalf of the university. That's my motion.
All in favor? Aye.
I'd like for Deborah Wilkins to please stay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Let's let everybody bail out.
Let's let the record reflect that we're back in open session and we've completed all the agenda items and we are.
I would call everybody's attention on meetings. March 27th, committee meetings. April 24th, second quarterly board meeting. Commencement May 15th and then May 16th, May 15th and 16th commencements. And then May 29th will be our Finance and Budget Committee meeting, followed by June 26th, Special Budget Approval meeting. So those are the key board meeting dates. And we will have our board retreat on July 23rd, and we will be back in touch with details, but we want to show off the Hardin County Early College and Career Center that we partner with Hardin County Schools, and most of you have not seen that, I would think, and you'll enjoy seeing that partnership in Hardin County. So we'll have our retreat in Elizabethtown on the 23rd and 24th of June. Excuse me, July.
And that's listed on those dates that I sent to you.
Move that we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
It's an adjourn.